Bibles and would like to turn with me, we're going to read one verse today. It's a short verse. It's a proverb, a piece of wisdom that has been true since the beginning of time. So if you want to join me in standing in honor of God's Word, I invite you to do so. If you don't want to, that's fine too. It's up to you and God, but this verse is short. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." Would you all pray with me today? Almighty God, we are here gathered today to worship You, to honor You, to reflect Your glory by being Your people. Lord, in these moments we have to hear You, I ask that You would calm our hearts and our spirits, that You would remove distractions, that You would help us to focus on hearing Your voice. Not me, Father, but You. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I'm going to be real honest with you. I am just not totally comfortable with today's message. Not because I don't believe God's Word is true and it should be preached as true no matter what. It's just the issue of parenting. You have to understand, I don't feel like I'm an expert in that category. And so I hesitate to share wisdom that may be way beyond my years. I feel a little bit like Lord Rochester, who said, "Before I got married, I had six theories about bringing up children. Now I have six children and no theories." Once you have children, things change, you know. You gain wisdom and learning, and the truth of the matter is parenting is a very difficult path. It's a challenge to all of us. Every parent who has ever lived has made mistakes. And I know some of you young people are sitting out there thinking, "You know what, I'm going to do a better job than my parents." I've heard that. I want to tell you a little secret. You may do different than your parents, but you're still going to make mistakes. The reality is, it's something that is such a challenge, none of us will ever successfully get it right. There's grace in that, though. God takes care of helping us. He will guide us and lead us if we turn to Him and listen to Him. The reason for the series is God's Word has much to say about parenting, and we will be doing a series of sermons on parenting. Only because I feel like God is telling me to do this. Why, I'm not sure, but it's important to Him. And I believe since God's Word has a lot to say about parenting, we can all gain from it. And before you shut me off and say, "Well, I'm done with my parenting, I don't need these lessons," I'm going to tell you a little secret. Each and every one of us in here was parented by somebody. And that means they made mistakes and we're the product of some of their teaching. And the only way to know whether they did a good job or a bad job is to know what God says, God's Word says about parenting. Because we tend to parent like we were parented. That doesn't necessarily make it right. And so we all have something to learn, because the issues of parenting relate very well to our relationship to God. If you notice, God talks to us in terms of being our Father. That's a parental role. And so things that apply to parenting apply also to our spiritual walk. So hopefully through this series, each and every one of us will gain insight that will make our lives better. See, God is the only expert on parenting. He's the one who created the concept. He wrote instructions about the model for parenting in His Word, and He has carefully described His relationship to us in terms of parental relationships. Father, child. He adopted us as His children. He's modeled for us some of the characteristics of a parent. You look at the terms and the issues where God talks about His relationship to His people. He uses terminologies that we can relate to. He talks about emotions. He talks about discipline and pain and suffering and all those things that we parents have been through. The book of Proverbs, as we've discussed, was written to provide instructions to those who were young and inexperienced. Basically, the design of the book is to help those not make mistakes that haven't learned yet. The truth of the matter is, it's also a book that will add wisdom to those who have learning. And as we've talked last week, the key to understanding all knowledge begins with a proper reference or a proper reverence or fear of God. Even the process of parenting starts in that relationship of reverence for God. And this verse we've read today speaks to part of the role of a parent. It is a command to parents addressing their responsibility to train their children. Now, just a surface reading of this verse without taking in all the teaching of Scripture would seem to apply that if a parent does a good job of training, the outcome is a guaranteed success. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. If you teach your children good things, it's guaranteed you'll get good results. I hate to tell you this, but that's not always true. I do believe there is truth in that statement that if a parent does a good job, your chances of a good outcome are much higher. But it isn't a guarantee. I do believe this captures, I don't believe this idea of it being a guaranteed success captures the whole essence of this wisdom or the full extent of the parental challenges that we face. Some of you are still parenting, even though it's your grandkids. So you still have the parental challenges. And in this proper light, the command of this verse is not about success, it's about need. It's about the need of children to have proper training, to have proper guidance. Well, why is the parent's responsibility and what is the parent's responsibility in relationship to this proper training? That's the question we want to try to answer today. Another question we want to try to answer, are they responsible for the outcome of a child's way? Good question. Well, to put this parental challenge in its proper light, we need to look at two aspects of the training which come to us from Scripture. This nice little pithy saying of wisdom doesn't tell us what all that training involves. It just tells us there is a need for training. So we have to look at all of Scripture to get an aspect of the proper picture of what that training involves. Well, the first aspect of that training is the purpose of the training. Why is it necessary? The outcome of proper training is related to the way a child should go. You're to train him in the way they should go. Well, the word for way in Scripture is used to describe a person's conduct or the pattern of their actions. In other words, the training is necessary to guide a child into the right character, the right style of living. Psalms 37 verses 5 and 6 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun." When you put your way in line with God's way, God has a way of making you stand out as a successful person. Well, the literal translation of this phrase in verse 6 of Proverbs, it says literally in the Hebrew that you should train them according to His way. Now, some scholars have taken that to mean, or it implies to some scholars anyway, that you're to respect Him for His individuality and vocation. And so this verse is saying to them, it's telling parents that you're to guide the child into finding out who they are to be. Well, that may be a possibility. But if you want to know who you are to be, you have to go back to Scripture and look at what God has said about who we are and who He wants us to be. And therefore, you get back to the issue of what training is all about. And the basic starting point of who we are to be is given to us in God's Word, and it's defined as man's condition. Man is a sinner. His way, so to speak, is to walk in rebellion to God. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end of it leads to death. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. The description of these two verses and other passages of Scripture is pointing out the reality that the way of all people, including children, is to walk in opposition to God. We're sinners by nature. It's part of the fall that Adam and Eve brought upon us. That every one of us chooses to do what is wrong. To have a pattern of action which leads us to death. It's to follow a deceitful heart which will take them away from a godly focus to a self-focus. Well, if that is who we are, the purpose of the proper training of children needs to train them in the way they should go, and it starts with teaching them to fear God. If our tendency is to walk away from God and not fear Him, then what we need to do is train children to fear God. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's only as one understands their standing before God that they can see the need to change their ways. If the natural desire is to walk away from God, then the purpose of training for the proper way involves teaching them reverence for God. Reverence involves love. Reverence involves like and fellowship and all kinds of things that involve not walking away from God. Proverbs 2:1-5 says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and will find the knowledge of God. In other words, when you train a child to reverence God, he learns who God is. He learns that God loves him and cares for him. It's the responsibility of a parent in training a child in the way he should go to teach him that he's a sinner. That's a fact, folks. We're all sinners. And they're never going to learn right until they start at that point. You have to teach him that his sin is what Jesus died for, and that he needs to repent from that sin and he needs to turn to God. This is the knowledge of God which will lead a child to walk in the way he should go. It will lead a child to be the person he should be. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Worldly sorrow is a sorrow that doesn't repent. Feels bad about what it's done, but it won't change. Godly sorrow leads to repentance, which is changing. The second purpose of proper training is to help a child build godly character. Proverbs 3:7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. That's godly character. Fear of the Lord and righteous living go together. God did not design us to be evil. That was not His design. That was not His purpose for our lives. That design was corrupted in the fall. It's a fallen nature that has corrupted God's plan, and reverence for Him calls forth the need for right living. Calls forth for godly character. Teaching a child to live in godliness is teaching him the way God wants him to be. Proverbs 14:2 says, "He whose walk is upright fears the Lord, but he whose ways are devious despises him." Someone has written a poem which shares this truth so well. It says, "As parents, we must have this goal to teach our children self-control, for firm and loving discipline can keep them from the ways of sin. Godly character helps them walk right." You do not have to teach a child how to lie or cheat or steal. They come by that naturally. What you have to teach them to do is tell the truth, be honest, and to learn to earn what they get. Those are lessons you have to teach them that are godly character. That's lessons you have to teach them so that they walk in the way that God has designed them to go. And the parent's responsibility of training a child in the way he should go is to lead him to salvation and to lead him to godliness. His purpose in God's plan will be discovered as he finds himself reverencing God. Revering God. Well, the second aspect is the outcome of this training. Is a parent responsible for the outcome of a child's way? Well, just as man's sin nature affects our reverence for God, it has an impact on the outcome of a child's training. The outcome of training depends on what that training was. Proverbs 14:24 says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." It means if you want a godly child, sometimes you have to be severe in your correction. Sometimes that stubbornness has to be stopped. The point of discipline is to change behavior. If the discipline doesn't cause the child to rethink his actions, or if there is no discipline with the training, then the outcome will not be godliness. Because you have to change the nature. The message sent by a lack of discipline is that a parent doesn't care enough about the child to lead him to righteousness. That's what discipline is all about, the leading to righteousness. Parent does not care enough to help can learn to respect himself or learn to respect God if he doesn't care enough to discipline. Proverbs 29:15 and verse 17 says, "The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. Discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul." The outcome of training where godliness is enforced is peace and delight, while the outcome of correction or no correction or improper correction is disgrace and shame. Well, the training of a child has an effect on both the parents and the child. Believe it or not, I believe God gives parents children to grow the parents. I should have heard a few more amens on that one, but anyway, I appreciate that one, George. Proverbs 10:1 says, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother." The wise son is the one who learns from training and discipline. This is a picture of one who is wise. They will accept instruction. It's amazing when you can get somebody that really wants to learn, isn't it? It's exciting. You get one that balks at the idea and it can be just downright frustrating. The image of a wise son or daughter is one who reflects the qualities of God. It's a child who will be well spoken of by those who know them. It's a picture of someone who's making a positive change in the world around them. That's the effect that good discipline can have. In contrast, the one who is foolish is one who will not listen or learn. Proverbs 1:5 says, "A fool spurns his father's discipline." The impact of the stubbornness of one who will not learn is that it affects not only the parents, but it affects the one who will respond to their discipline. If a kid is stubborn, it's going to affect the parents. They're going to be disappointed. They're going to be upset. They're going to be frustrated. But the one that refuses discipline is going to bear the consequences. Proverbs 17:25 says, "A foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the one who bore him." And Proverbs 15:32 says, "He who ignores discipline despises himself." They don't love themselves enough to do what's right. We do not live unto ourselves. That's the whole point of all this. Every choice we make has an impact on others. In the case of parents and children, this can be even more pronounced. They want their children to turn out all right, and they want them to reflect good qualities. And it means a lot to a parent when others speak highly of their children. That brings honor and blessing to the household. When they know their children are making a positive difference in the world, it pleases the parents because they know their child is doing what God would have them to do. Jesus went around serving others. He went around doing good. That's the godly character that should be the outcome of discipline. But a child who is stubborn and unwilling to learn is a grief to their parents. They reflect an attitude of someone who does not care about themselves. And one of the sad facts in our world today is that many of the men in prison didn't complete high school. They didn't learn to read well. And so they've made choices that involved decisions that were not in their best interest. They made choices that were missed opportunities. And the outcome is a life that is disappointing. One other important outcome of the training responsibilities of parents is the choice of the child. It plays a role in the result. It is possible for a parent to do the right kind of training and the child to refuse to listen. Proverbs 13:1 says, "A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke." One of the hardest things for a parent to do is to have to live with a child who refuses to take the training that is given, who ignores the wisdom his parents have to offer. Proverbs 13:13 says, "He who scorns instruction will pay for it." I don't know how more blunt the Bible can be. You know? He who scorns instruction will pay for it. But he who respects a command is rewarded. Basically, what it boils down to is you make choices, but you have to live with the consequences of those choices. Even though our choices affect other people, our decisions are our own responsibility. In other words, I can make a decision and it's going to affect you, but you're not going to have to answer for my decision. I am. Eli, who was a priest of God and was a godly man, had two wicked sons. Eli was not judged for his sons. He was judged for his failure to correct them, but he wasn't judged for his children. Samuel, who followed him, was a godly man, but he had two wicked sons. Samuel was not judged for his sons. They were judged for their own sins. The pattern of godly parents having wicked children or wicked parents having godly children, if you look at the history of the kings of Israel, is repeated over and over. You'd have a king that was a godly man and his son would be just as wicked as he could be. And you turn around and you'd have a king that was a wicked man and his son would be godly. What does that prove? It proves that the outcome of our character is based on the choices we make about God, not who our parents are. Or how well they parented us. What the truth is pointing to is found in Deuteronomy 24:16. fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor children put to death for their fathers. Each is to die for his own sin. We all have to live with the consequences of our own choices. Well, what are the truths that we can gain or learn from these two aspects about the parenting challenge of training up a child? There's several things we can each gain. First, you cannot rest on the faith of your parents. Everybody has to make their own decision about their relationship to God. You cannot have an inherited faith. It doesn't work that way. Every generation has to make their own choice. Every individual has to make their own choice. And if you do not make the choice to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the consequences of your choice is eternal punishment. It doesn't matter how good or bad your parents were. Well, there's another thing we can learn. You cannot blame your parents for your problems. I know some of us would like to. As we've said, all parents make mistakes. But we each make our own decisions. And it's those decisions which determine the course of our lives. Not the decisions of our parents. They may influence us, but we make the choices that determine the course of our lives. There's a third truth we can learn from this. Parents are responsible to train their children in godliness, but they cannot make godly children. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We can set up the guidelines, we can lead them as best we can to the truth, but the Holy Spirit has to do the work in their life that makes them a godly person. Because of that, godly parents who grieve over the outcome of their children can do so without guilt. If they choose to go the wrong way, that is their choice. Not my choice. Or your choice. Another thing is, even though we do not have to feel guilty over the outcome, we don't dare shirk our responsibility. We're going to be held accountable to God for the job of parenting we did do. And finally, putting too much pressure on ourselves over the outcome of our children can greatly hinder our ability to walk with God in the process. Because if you want to be a really good parent, you get hand in hand with God and you say, okay, here we go. We have this charge together. I'll do my part, you do your part. By the way, his part's bigger. But if we're so focused on whether we're doing it right or not, guess what? We're going to miss out on that privilege. Because it is a privilege to walk with God in parenting a child. Well, today we've all been challenged in our responsibilities as children and as parents. Maybe you're here today and you're one of those children that's leaning in the rebellious direction. Trust me, you don't want to go that way. It's a hard road. Smartest choice you can make is to turn to Jesus Christ. It will make your life better. Not easier, but better. Maybe you're one of those parents who's been beating yourself up over your mistakes. Quit. Get on your knees, apologize for the things you did wrong, tell your kids the things you have done wrong, and get up off your knees and walk with God. Beating yourself up doesn't change anything. All it does is give you a headache. Maybe you're one of those parents that is still in the process of making mistakes. Get on your knees, say I'm sorry, and then tell your kid you're sorry. Trust me, they'll forgive you. That's our challenge. As we close today, that challenge may have spoken to you. Maybe there's a need in your life. Our altar is open for prayer. I'll be here to pray with you or help you with any decision you need to make. The point is, this is God's time. He's speaking to you. He has something for you to respond to one way or another. Maybe it's saying, thank you, Lord. It turned out right. You did a good job. Thanks for letting me along for the ride. I don't know what it is you need to do. This is God's moment. As we stand and as we sing, would you respond to Him?